This Weekend at the Movies features a mystifying epic from the people who brought you The Matrix. Cloud Atlas is what it's called, with an all-star cast. You've got Tom Hanks and Halle Berry, among others, in an adaptation of the David Mitchell novel about connections across centuries.
Yesterday, my life was headed in one direction. Today, it is headed in another.
You ever think the universe was against you?
And Dimitri asked Christian Toto. He is the assistant editor of Big Hollywood whether Cloud Atlas in this case is just too complicated.
You know, I think its structure is, but it really, the story itself is actually too simplistic. And that's one of the many problems I had with the movie. It's really hard to describe, frankly. It's a series of stories that take place throughout time, some in the distant past, some in the near future, and some in the distant future as well. And all these stories are supposed to be connected in certain ways. And that's sort of the whole thesis of the film. That sort of the things we do today may ripple through time tomorrow. And the heroism we display may kind of come into fruition years from now. And maybe the evil things we do will have a negative effect on subsequent generations. That's sort of the basic thesis. Then sort of to kind of step back a bit, you've got some really famous folk here, including Halle Berry and Tom Hanks, playing multiple roles in these multiple storylines. So you'll see Tom Hanks as a pugnacious writer who doesn't look much like Tom Hanks anymore. And then he's playing a kind of a caveman type character in the future after some sort of apocalyptic storm has hit the world potentially. And then he's dealing with a futuristic person played by Halle Berry. So you've got multiple actors playing multiple roles. You've got lots of latex and makeup. I have to say it's more distracting than anything else. I admire the film's vision. It's beautiful to look at sometimes. And also it's ambitious. It's trying to tell a very unique and powerful story. But boy, it's not really getting there. I think it's too confusing. Not that you can't follow it, but it just doesn't kind of gel as a cohesive film. The themes seem very simplistic and not really well spelled out. And you just kind of get just bombarded by all the different storytelling ticks and tricks. You don't really care about the stories and the characters going on.
Christian, this is probably a first for somebody listening. I know it's a first for me. You are going to give us a third of a movie review. Talk about what happened at the screening for the surfing movie Chasing Mavericks.
Sure, I'd like to have a story where I stormed out in protest. It isn't that fun. It's a little bit more complicated and less satisfying than that. This is based on a true story about a young surfing legend and about this older mentor who kind of teaches him about surfing, not just about the sport itself, but sort of the nuances of it, how to be strong, how to be tough, how to survive waves that might kill lesser people, frankly, and lesser skilled athletes. It stars Gerard Butler. He plays the older, wiser surfing legend. And then there's a youngster coming along who really has that sort of, because it has that sparkle in his eye whenever he sees a monstrous wave and wants to tackle them all. But fortunately, the Butler character is there to kind of caution him and say, you know, if you're not prepared for this, this wave could be your last. Now, I must confess, about a third of the way through the film, the fire alarm went off in the theater and we're hustled out. And then we were never let back in. So for the first time in my life, I didn't get a chance to see a film to completion in a theater. So I've never stormed out. I've never walked out. But I've been kicked out for safety reasons, I guess you can say. I will say that the film, which also co-stars Elizabeth Shue, didn't really engage me. The surfing sequences are beautiful. I think if you're a surfing aficionado, you'll really enjoy that aspect of it. Just kind of the pageantry of the sport and have just sort of the man meets nature kind of the connection, I think, is really well told. But the story, as I saw it, the characters were a little bit underwhelming. It seemed kind of boilerplate, older mentor, younger protege. So I don't know if it got much better, but I was a little let down. But then again, I really wish I could have seen the rest of the movie.
Since you don't recommend either of these, should we go out and see Ben Affleck in Argo? Seems like that's what many others are doing.
Yeah, you know, it didn't have a spectacular opening weekend as far as this box office concerned. But, you know, sometimes the movies will linger. I remember even Titanic, it just sort of kept going on and on, to paraphrase the song. The response to Argo has been really positive. I've heard sort of anecdotally and also in the theater that I saw it in, people stood up and cheered. I mean, they really clapped at the movie. Of course, there's no live performance going on, so it's sort of superfluous, but sort of a positive sign all the same. And also the receipts from the first weekend of box office to the second, they went down only 15%. That's a really strong hold. Usually movies will fall 30, 40, 50, maybe even 60% from first to second weekend, where the sort of enthusiasm, that initial burst of energy kind of dies down. But that's a sign that people are liking the film. They're telling their friends. I think this one's going to linger for quite some time. It already's going to have some Oscar buzz and deservedly so. But this is a movie that's really connecting with the audience, and I kind of like to see that.
That's Christian Toto with Big Hollywood on Skype. Christian liked neither Cloud Atlas or Chasing Mavericks, but he says audiences are building for Argo. and that you may want to join them in the theater for that one.